We pray, build me our eyes, and watch us where we go, and teach us to be wise in times when we don't know.
Welcome here this day. It's good to see all of you. We know that the Lord will protect us and keep us safe when we're here. As we just sang, lead us to a place where we'll be safe. I know there's many things that have happened in the last week in the world. We have many concerns, but one thing we know for sure is that our Lord is our Savior, and He will guide and protect us. I'd like to read from Doctrine and Covenants, the 6th section, verse 3. Now, as you have asked, behold, I say unto you, keep my commandments, and seek to bring forth and establish the cause of Zion. Seek not for riches, but for wisdom. And behold, the mysteries of God shall be unfolded unto you, and then shall ye be made rich. Behold, he that hath eternal life is rich.
For the scripture reading this morning, I'm going to be reading from Romans 12, 3 through 5. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. This sermon is part three of the last two sermons I gave. It's an extension of those. You could say it's luck. You could say it's a blessing, divine intervention, whatever it might be. It seems especially relevant for, I guess, the situation we're in. So I'm going to recap very quickly the last two sermons. The last one I gave, I talked about who we are, why we are, and how to accomplish the why we are. Who we are, we see in Genesis 1:27, that we're made in the image and likeness of God. I believe this to be the most important text ever written, because so many things hang on this concept that we are part of the Creator of the universe. And I used different examples to highlight that this likeness and image of God is not a physical representation, but a mental one, a sentient one, a self-awareness. And so I moved on to why we are, and we see this in 2 Nephi 94 through 99, that Adam fell, that men might be, and men are, that they might have joy. That's the reason of our creation, to share in the joy of the Lord and in his creation. And so the million-dollar question is then, how do we accomplish the why we are? How do we get that joy that we were promised? And I use two different examples from totally different sources. The first one was from Maimonides, who is a Hebrew theologian, who said that the creation story is actually our story. That God looked out on this blank canvas with unlimited opportunities, and he created order. There was no chaos in this world that he built, in this universe that he built. It was strictly order. Everything functioned together from the subatomic particle level to the galaxy. Everything functioned in this beautiful way. And that story is our story. We're the only creatures that share this story. We don't build a universe. We build our future. We ourselves have a blank canvas upon which we can build. We can write our own story with the purpose that when God looks back on it, he can say, and it was good. And the other example I used was of how to accomplish the why was Peter Thiel, an investor who talked about how society totally has our priorities skewed. We no longer consider the first and the last commandment. The first commandment is love the Lord your God. The last commandment is don't look at your neighbor's stuff. Don't look at what they're doing. Don't look at what they want. And instead, we don't look at God, we don't look up to God, we look at what other people have, what other people want, what other people are doing. And if we inverted those things, we would be a lot better off. And we'd be able to accomplish the why, that we'd be able to share in the joy of the Lord. Okay, so that's the last two sermons in a nutshell. So to go on with this morning's theme, we're going to go back to Genesis. I've come to love the creation story for many reasons. So we see in Genesis chapter 1 that light was created and divided from the darkness, and God called it good. We see the atmosphere was created and divided from the waters, and God called it good. We see that land was created and divided it from the waters, God called it good. The sun, the moon, and the stars were created, God called it good. Creatures to fill the sky and water, God called it good. Creatures to fill land, God called it good. Eventually culminating in the creation of man, which, as far as we know, is the pinnacle of creation. And God called all these things good. And remember, at this point in creation, sin had not been introduced. Everything was good, except for one thing. The first thing God says is not good, even though sin had not been introduced. His creation, and yet there was one thing that was not good. And we find out what that is in Genesis 2, verse 23. And I, the Lord God, sent unto mine only begotten that it was not good that man should be alone. That's what we're going to talk about today. I guess I'll start out. The first quarter of 2020 has been a brutal couple of years, right? It's hard to pack more activity into a few months than what we've seen. We've seen Australian wildfires, which feels like a distant memory, an escalated conflict between the USA and Iran, Iraq. Kobe Bryant died in a helicopter accident. That was very sad for me. And then I guess that's it, right? Nothing else happened. Obviously, the topic on everyone's mind is coronavirus and the implications of that. So 2020 has gotten off to a rough start. It got off to a pretty rough start at our house, too. Very early on in January, Harvey got sick. And he threw up, and it seemed like he got sick for a few days, and then he got better. And we were really excited about that. And then he got a different sickness, basically right on the heels of that, where he was coughing, he had a headache, he had a fever that was on and off, he had chills, he wasn't sleeping well. He had lots of congestion, and so we took him into the hospital to check him out. And they said, we have good news and bad news. The good news is that it's not the flu. The bad news is that it's not the flu, and we don't know what it is. Could be a few days, could be up to 6 weeks. Here's some Tylenol. And that's what we left with. And of course, it was not a few days. It was just under 6 weeks. And it seemed like in the early on, he could kind of manage it himself. And then it got worse to the point where Christina or I would be sleeping next to him on the floor. And he'd wake up in a cough and he'd just be really upset because he was tired and he didn't feel well. And so we'd be there to pat his back and tell him we're there and help him calm down before it got worse so he could go back to sleep. And he'd sleep for a couple hours at a time if we were lucky. And we did this for a while. A few weeks, I think. And it was basically, we'd go to work. We'd come home, we'd put Harvey down immediately because he just wanted to sleep. One of us would stay in his room for 4 to 6 hours, pat his back, and then we'd switch. And that's what we did for weeks. It was not great. It was exhausting. And then he continued to get worse. There was about 3 or 4 days where he was really bad. It was really bad congestion. His cough was really bad. In fact, there were a few nights at 2 a.m., he, Christine, and I would be hanging out on our deck because he had the croup barking seal cough, and the cold air would help relax his lungs. And so 2 a.m., we're just hanging out in 20-degree weather on our deck, bundled up. That's what we did. And then we'd go back inside and hope he'd be able to get some sleep. But there were 3 or 4 days that got really bad. And especially one night where Christina was in his room and he would only be able to sleep for 5 or 10 minutes before waking up crying because he had a headache and he had aches and pains. He had a really bad cough, and the more you cried, the worse your cough got. And the worse you cried, the worse your headache got. And of course he's exhausted because he hasn't slept more than a couple hours for weeks, and now he's only getting 5 or 10 minute increments of sleep. And so I called my dad and I said, can you come please administer to Harvey? He's doing very, very bad. He's doing really poorly. And so he came over that night and he came and administered to him. And he said the same prayer that we had been offering the whole time. And that prayer was, Lord, we ask for a full healing, but if not for a healing, please just help him sleep. So immediately following the prayer, he got worse. He was inconsolable. He was screaming. He was crying. He was coughing. And about 5 minutes after the prayer ended, he threw up this black liquid. It was almost inky. It was very strange. It was really thick. And he just threw it up, and he immediately laid down and he went to sleep. And he slept for 7 hours, which was by far the most amount of sleep he'd gotten in weeks, by far. And so we were really excited the next morning. We thought he was healed. We thought that God had heard both parts of that prayer and had healed him, in addition to giving him the sleep he needed. I won't say unfortunately. I will say we were disappointed that morning because he was not healed. He was still really rough. And that day, the next day, I stayed home with him. And then the day after that, Christina stayed home with him. And we basically had the same day, same activity, same events happened. But that day following the administration, all he wanted to do was sit in your lap and rock. That's all he wanted to do. He didn't want to play. He didn't want to hit his baseball. He didn't care to read a book or watch TV or do anything that he likes to do. All he wanted to do was sit on the chair and rock. And so we did that for about 6 hours, just rocking on his chair in our room. And I know Christina did the same thing the next day. And in that time, we talked. I mostly talked to him because his throat hurt. And we sang songs and we read books as best we could. We took naps. I told him stories. I told him about his family and his friends that he doesn't really know are his friends yet. And we just had this really beautiful time where it was literally just he and I. And like I said, I know Christina had that same experience the next day. And I know that at that time he knew that I would do anything for him. And so Christina had that same experience the next day. Just these beautiful moments one-on-one with him where you are basically his world. And the day after that, he got a lot better. He was back at about 70%, which was a huge improvement overnight, just swished like that. And I was so happy to see him running and playing and you know, joking around. And we'd have to scale him back some because we knew he wasn't at full strength yet. But looking back on it, when it was all over, knowing he'd be okay, I was so grateful for that unanswered prayer. That unanswered prayer of a healing. I was so grateful for those moments with him in the rocking chair. And I know Christina was too. And I was talking to Joy Kane about it, about a week after, maybe 2 weeks after. And she said, you know what? Those are the moments in 10 years you're going to look back on and you're going to cherish. I can tell you, I'm already there. Like, I already look back on that moment with such joy and appreciation that I could experience it. So it makes you wonder what the value is of unanswered prayer. Because at the time I was wondering, why would God make this little boy go through this? Why would he make us go through this? He clearly heard the prayer. He helped him sleep. Why wouldn't he just heal him? And it turned out I was so glad he didn't at that moment. So we have a lot of things going on right now. A lot of things we don't want to go through. A lot of things that are scary. There's a lot of uncertainty. Why does God make us go through this? Why can't God just be a gumball machine where we put the prayer in and we get exactly what we asked for back out? Wouldn't that make life really easy? Wouldn't that solve all of our problems? Wouldn't that be the best life we could imagine? If everything we asked for was given to us immediately by the all-powerful creator of the universe, we know he's capable of doing it. Why doesn't he do it? Why does he let people suffer like he let my son suffer? This is something I've thought about a lot. Because if we had everything that we'd ever need, if we'd have everything that we ever wanted, we wouldn't need anything. And if we didn't need anything, we wouldn't need anyone. If Harvey was healthy, he wouldn't need me like he did. I remember rocking in the chair with him. And there was a common line that kept coming to my mind during this moment. And it seemed strange, but I think it makes some sense. And it was a line from the play Les Mis. To love another person is to see the face of God. And so through this experience, I was able to see that if he doesn't need me, if God gave him everything, if God was his everything and he didn't need me, I wouldn't have this great relationship with him. I wouldn't be able to look in his face and love him the way I do. And in so doing, I wouldn't be able to experience the fullness of God's love. Because it's true that to love another person is to see the face of God, to experience him in a more full way. So I'm sure you've caught on that the topic today is how we need each other. With a side of the importance of unanswered prayer. And they seem to be two different thoughts, and yet I don't think they are. I think they're very connected. So why doesn't God answer all of our prayers? Why isn't he the gumball machine we sometimes want him to be? Why does he make us go through difficult points? Why does he make us suffer? One is that it deprives us of our own personal growth. That's important, but I don't think it's as important as other points. We wouldn't need anything or anyone. We wouldn't have the relationship with them. We wouldn't be able to experience God in the way that we do. But I think the most important thing is that it would deprive us of our opportunity to be like Christ. Christ came and he put down his wants and his fears and his concerns, and we know this because he asked for the cup to be taken from him. And he put all those things down, all his personal wants, desires, needs, priorities, and he put them down to pick us up. And if God answered all our prayers, if we didn't need anything or anyone, no one would need to be picked up. We would not be able to share in the joy of the Lord that is picking up a fallen brother or sister. Earlier I talked about order and chaos in creation. If there is no chaos in the world and it's just order, there's no need to restore it. There's no chance for us to experience Christ-like love or joy. So the last sermon I gave, I told a story about Harvey and Selah. And I decided to end it, the sermon, just with that story, provide no context, and ask you guys to think about why I thought that summed up all my thoughts pretty well. So I'm going to tell the story again. I'm going to provide the context. And then I'm going to close with a hymn and provide no context. But the story of Harvey and Selah was, we had just gotten home, and Harvey and I went into his playroom. We put Selah down on her mat because she just wanted to kick, and Christina went into the kitchen to cook dinner. And I heard my phone ring, so I went to the kitchen, and as soon as I got to my phone, I heard Selah crying. And so I put my phone down, and I was about to go get her, at least to go check on her. And I heard Harvey's toys drop, and I heard him run across the tile, and he immediately laid down next to his little sister and said, "It's okay, little sister, it's okay." And I asked you, why was that such a beautiful moment for me in the context of creation? And there are three reasons. One was he dropped his toys. He dropped the physical, temporal things that make him happy. And instead, he went to go console his sister who was in pain or fear or whatever was wrong, because he recognized the divine in her and he recognized her importance. He put down his own happiness, while it's temporal, his own happiness, and he picked up an eternal truth. And that is his relationship with his sister and the Christ-like love. So that's one point. I could see, as the creator of this creation, I could see him recognizing the importance of my other creation. And that's a beautiful thing to witness. And I say that I'm the creator very loosely, as I'm third on the importance scale there. But the third point I want to make is that today is the National Day of Prayer. And some needs require supernatural intervention. I know Ken talked about this at Ruby's baby blessing, and I really appreciated it. That some needs require supernatural intervention, and some don't. Some prayers that are offered up do not require supernatural intervention. They require us. So as today is the National Day of Prayer, absolutely pray for supernatural intervention and think about what you're going to do to satisfy needs that you can satisfy. Let it be a call to action to those who want to stand in the stead of Christ. So, in closing, I'm going to give you one verse of my favorite song, and I'm not just trying to shoehorn in some Christmas magic or talk about my favorite song, but I think it applies. Next week, tell me why you think it applies. O holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth.
Thank you, Andrew. Our president did declare this a National Day of Prayer, so we're going to take a little bit of time to let you offer some prayers for this nation. I'd like to read some scripture prior to that. From the book of Enos in the Book of Mormon, Enos was the son of Jacob, and Jacob was the brother of Nephi. And Enos was so concerned about things going on that he went into the woods as he was doing some hunting, and he offered prayer all the day long. And the Lord came to him and said, "Your sins are forgiven you." And he said, "How can this be, Lord?" And he said, "As through your faith in Jesus Christ, who you have not yet seen," because this was 500 years before Christ came on the earth. And then Enos was so touched and filled with that spirit that he was concerned about his people. And he prayed about his people to the Lord. "Now it came to pass that when I had heard these words of the Lord saying he was forgiven, I began to feel a desire for the welfare of my brethren, the Nephites. Wherefore I did pour out my whole soul unto God for them. And while I was thus struggling in the spirit, behold, the voice of the Lord came into my mind again, saying, 'I will visit thy brethren according to their diligence in keeping my commandments. I have given unto them this land, and it is a holy land, and I curse it not, save it be for the cause of iniquity. We live in a holy and blessed land, and if we keep the commandments of the Lord, it will not be cursed. I think this center place of Zion can be a light unto the world. It can be an ensign. My desires are that the Lord would put a bubble of protection around this place, that it might not be consumed, and that we might be protected, and that it would be an example unto the rest of the world, so they would come and learn of Zion's ways. So we have some roving microphones, a roving mic if you desire to offer prayer for our nation, for your concerns, for the situation we're in. Please raise your hand and we'll see that the mic gets to you.
Holy Father, we've been touched by your Spirit, O Father, through the sacrifice of our brother and sister for their son. And Father, we've been touched because of the sacrifice of thy son. And we know, Lord, that your word says that this nation will honor and will worship even the Lord Jesus Christ as the God of the land. The land shall be saved and preserved. And Father, we believe that. And we do pray for those that are going through this trial now, whether they be in our church or out of our church, Father, in this world. We pray that you would bring a blessing upon them of healing. We pray for, particularly for our president and for those that are working with him, Vice President Pence, that are trying to do so much, and the caregivers that are trying to reach out to so many people before this grows into a contagious situation for the whole nation. But Father, we know that as we deal with sin, we must ask for forgiveness. Father, we also ask for forgiveness for this nation. I know I ask personally for my own sins to be forgiven. But for the nation, Father, as a whole, we ask for forgiveness, because we know that judgments are coming and are upon the land because of decisions that we have made. But Father, we know that your scriptures have pointed out so clearly that just individually, when we repented, we found the truth, and that we were forgiven and were brought into your presence. So we pray that we would be forgiven as a nation as well. But we do pray for the situation particularly that's going on right now within the nation, the turmoil, that hearts would be turned to you, Father, as they've never been turned before, that this nation may find itself upon its knees, worshiping and to praising you. And we do pray for, even as our brother has said, for the shield of protection over the center place, Father, that there might be an example to the world of righteousness, but also to handle every situation that comes our way as we trust you and as we place our faith within you. So, Father, may you be glorified in all these situations that are going on, and may we learn from these experiences. We pray as a nation and as a people, in Jesus' name, amen.
Father in heaven, we continue our prayers together for this land, this nation, for the health of many people. And we know that this world is more important to you than it is to us. You have your great plan of salvation for not only your chosen people, the house of Israel, but for all people and for all nations, and that you are in charge of all things. And so we are aware that our sins have caused many problems in this world. And we ask forgiveness for our sins and ask for your Holy Spirit to protect us and guide us, enlighten us, that we might avoid the sins of this world. And we ask for your protection for this city and place, that we might be kept safe. And we know that all things are possible with you, so in the name of Jesus, we ask this blessing. Amen.
Father, at no time are we really independent. At no time can we really make it on our own. But it's times like this that brings that to our attention in a way that we have to face up to that fact. Father, we desperately need you. We need your power, your strength, your deliverance. We scarcely know what to pray about. Father, we pray for deliverance for this nation, both from this physical cursing that it is wrestling with right now, but even much more, Father, the spiritual cursing that is upon us. For too long, Father, we have wandered away from you. For too long, we have denied the God who brought us into existence and who has sustained us through so many trials. For too long, we have thought that we are sufficient, that we could ignore the desires of the God of the universe and get away with it. Now, Heavenly Father, we are forced to admit we just can't do that. So we ask, Father, for your physical blessing upon this nation. But much, much more so, Father, we ask for deliverance from our sins and our wickedness. It's so easy to point to others, Father, and to point to those people on the East Coast and the West Coast and other places and the wickedness they're involved in. But Father, our own lives, we reflect that we also wallow in our sins. And we repent, Father, and turn from our sins and ask you to give us strength that we might accomplish those things that you have called us to. We ask your forgiveness as a people, Father, as a church, for we haven't done that which you've called us to do. We haven't witnessed of you. We haven't redeemed the places in which we reside. And we ask you, Father, that your presence might be strongly with us. Not that we might consume it upon our lives, but that we might be strengthened to glorify you. For there's nothing else, Father, more important than that you be lifted up, that you be given as a solution to our needs, and that you, Heavenly Father, be given the glory due your name. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Heavenly Father, holy, holy, holy is your name. Lord, you are Lord over the whole earth. You are mighty in power. You are our Savior. You are our Redeemer. You are our Creator. Lord, there is nothing too hard for you. And I just come to you in worship and in praise. Lord, I thank you for the prayers of the brothers who have prayed. I thank you that we can unite our hearts together in prayer to you this day, along with those of all the believers of this nation. Lord, as one body of your believers, no matter affiliation, we unite our hearts and our souls and our minds to you, seeking you for our nation. Lord, you have told us to be thankful in all things, to bring you praise in all situations. And sometimes it's hard to understand that when we see things in the world that are hard. Your scriptures say that in these times that we see things happening, that we are to lift up our heads and rejoice. And so I rejoice in you, Lord. I pray, Lord, for those who have been sitting on the fence too long. I pray for our prodigals to return home to you. I pray for those that have walked away, that have been enticed by the world, that they would know that this is the time that we must choose ye this day to serve the Lord. Lord in heaven, I pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Oh, Father, we praise your name this morning. So thankful that you are our God, that Jesus is our Savior, and that your Holy Spirit lives within us. We're so thankful, Father, for these exciting times, for surely you are at work. There is so much good that will be coming, Father, and we praise your name for this. As our children turn their hearts to you, as our grandchildren seek you, as our neighbors turn to you, as we, Father, with our companions and our friends and our loved ones in our home turn to you, we will all be seeking you, Father, and we praise your name today. In Jesus' name, amen.
God, thank you so much for being here with us this morning, for having a plan for us, for calling us your children, and for adopting us into your family. God, from the very beginning, you have created us in love and called us your own. And just as in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve chose to eat of that fruit and they hid themselves from you, and God, your response was to walk in the garden and call to them and call out their names. And God, you do the same to each and every one of us. You call our names and you call us out from our sin. And I pray that as I know that this is an individual decision that we all must make, whether we choose to return to you or stay in the world, God, I pray that you would forgive me of those things that have kept me from you and the things that I've held on to too tightly. God, that I would leave those behind and seek after you and your kingdom, and that we would be able to do that as a body as well, that as we individually choose you, that we can come together and choose each other and choose to love and follow those commandments of loving you and our neighbors. God, I pray that that this would just be a time that the world would be able to see us and know us because of our love, not because of our judgment or because of our rules or anything else that they might associate with believers. But God, I pray that we would love others, that we would reach out to our neighbors and our friends and our coworkers, and check in on those people that are struggling in the midst of trials and unknown. God, I pray that we would just love in abundance and not ask questions, but love first and point them to you and be that example in this time. And I thank you, Lord, that you are so good and so faithful, and that you continually call us to you. And I just ask a blessing on this congregation and on your church and this nation and the world, that we would respond to that call. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, I come before you asking for forgiveness for myself and for this nation. I ask that you would touch the hearts of this nation so that the knees would turn to you and pray. I ask that the seeds that have been thrown out will grow, that they will take root and grow, and that you will have more come to you and praise your name. Dear Lord, please be with all those that have gone out and need to come back to you. Please protect this nation. There are many of us that are here that love you. I don't only ask for protection for our country, but we also have other people in other countries that need protecting as well. And I know that you said you would protect your people, and I believe you will. And I thank you, dear Lord, for that. In Jesus' name, pray, amen.
Our dear Heavenly Father, as I sit here and think about the struggles that we're having, my mind goes to those little children that I teach. I know many of them are afraid, and many, should our schools be canceled, might go hungry. And I pray for them that you will give them peace. And I pray for you, those parents as well, that you might give them peace, because I know many of them will worry about where those meals will come, how they will be able to get to work and take care of things and to be able to pay all of their bills and to do those things. And I know many of my students don't live in homes that know you. I also know that many of my children don't have that same hope that I have. And so I pray, Lord, for them. I pray that you will comfort them, that you will shield them, that you'll help to protect them so that they might be able to have peace. And at that time when it is needed, that they might learn of you, and they might be able to thank you for that wonderful experience of you preserving and protecting them. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Dear Lord, I thank you for being with us here today and for giving us all the strength to be here with each other and to fellowship. I thank you for blessing us with health and for giving us the guidance we need in our daily lives. I'd ask that you would be with everybody here today and that we will be able to take the words that were shared and apply them to our lives and everything we do. I'd ask that you would remind us to help each other and to be there for each other and to reach out and help those in need. I'd also ask that you would be with all those affected with the sickness, anybody struggling with any health issues, that you will give them the help they need and make access to the medicines or give the healing that we all need to get through this trial. I'd ask you to be with us as a nation, as a whole, and as a world, that we will all get through this trial and that we will overcome with your help. Be with us in our day to day, that we will remember you in everything we do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.